The scripture that we're going to read goes along with what Tony was speaking on in Hebrews. If you read that entire chapter of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, it's got 40 verses in it, and 24 times, if I'm not mistaken, is the word faith. And, you know, faith is a very important thing in a Christian's life. Faith is basically the same thing as air is to our natural life. You have no life without air. You have no life in God without faith. And that's just as plain as I know how to put it. And, you know, here, I don't know how many times in this chapter it's either by faith or through faith that it says it, but quite a few times by faith. And then one place in the 6th verse said, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. So, you know, everything is hinged on that word faith. And you'll find, if you go on down toward the end of that chapter, it groups a whole bunch of men's names together because of time. It say, in other words, you know, how much more would have to be added if I included all of these in? And you'll find one of them is David. And I want to read just one verse here in the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel. And this was after David was anointed to be king, but he was still very young, and Saul was still king. But here in the 17th chapter in the 50th verse, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Now, what I want each and every one of you to think about was the faith that it took for David to go out there and face this man. But if you listen to the words that David said before that, you would find it wasn't something that David was hunting for. It wasn't something that David was struggling about. It was something that was David's life. He had already put his life in the hands of God several times and believed God, was able to do what he was asking of him, and God delivered him from the bear, from the lion, and protected what David was put there to look after, the sheep. Well, me and you today, as I woke up this morning, the thought come to my mind, what kind of a God are we serving? And, you know, the kind of a God you're serving is the kind of faith that you have. If you've got faith to believe, you're serving a God that there is no limitations on. But if you can't believe, then you've got Him tied in a corner till you have no God at all. And, you know, the thing I like about it, when we read this verse, or this chapter here, that 11th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us of all of the faith that these people had. And then you get into the New Testament where it's talking about the prophets there, or the disciples, and Paul shows you the faith that he had. Paul don't say, by faith I done this, or by faith, but he shows you the faith that he had in his obedience unto God. Me and you, as we look at our lives, what is people seeing when it comes to us? Are they seeing a life that has faith in it, where somebody could sit down sometime or other and write a book of us and then start off by saying, by faith, this is what they accomplished. By faith they believe God. By faith they took it at His word and did not doubt. You and I, it doesn't do it much good. And we say, Lord, I'm unprepared. You said so and so. Let them go. that's standing for you. And you know, David didn't wait for other men to come and cross the stream with him to face the enemy. David went with all appearances totally by himself. He left the armor of the king back there. He left all the weapons of war back there. He went out with what a young person would go out to do some hunting with in that day and time. A slingshot. And not the kind that we think about, but the kind they had. It was two long strips of leather with a little pad at the end, and that's where it helped the rock. And they would swing it, and when they let go of one of them strings, they had practiced enough till it would throw that stone right where they wanted it. And they were people that could go out and kill small animals with a hat. But David was going out against a man that was prepared for battle against weapons of war. And they were protected against the arrow. And they were protected against the sword. And they were protected against anything that the man might throw at him. A dart or a spear. He had the weapons there to protect him from there. But he couldn't protect himself. But what God was able to say, and that was the obedience of a child that come out with no fear, but trusted in Almighty God. Voice the devil and say, you come at me with fear, with sword, with a shield. I come to you with the name of the Lord. Oh, what a great big weapon that was. It's able still that I meet no enemy. Ever we must come against. You know, we can go out and face an army as mighty as the world can come against us with. But if we've got faith to believe in God, all those weapons they have means nothing. You know, I was reading where one of Israel's kings had 300,000 and he was going out to battle against an enemy that come with over 1 million. And he just pretty much said, you know, you're going to lose. Because he put his faith and trust in God. He was dependent upon God. And they slaughtered them and just beat them down and took all of the spoil and brought it back. And not because that they were stronger, but because God delivered them into their hands. Me and you today, it isn't how big or how mighty we are. It's whether we are following what God is asking of us. And here, you know, we need to be encouraged, not because David was small, not because David was just a young person and wasn't really skilled in battle at that time of what would have been normal war battle. He had faced other enemies of wildlife that had come, but he had never faced a man of war before. But he figured, the same God that delivered me from that bear and from that lion can deliver me from that one. So he went in faith. Me and you today, God's waiting to see if we've got faith to believe. Because God is still God. And there's not a thing that the world can come against us with that God has not already got victory over. He's just waiting for the people to believe that it will be done. You know, I can show you in the Bible where God took nothing basically and defeated enemies. you'll find, you know, all your weapons of war that you've got won't do you any good when you're out there on the battlefield and you're attacked by a bunch of hornets. You know, they don't send a soldier out there with insect spray that's going to knock down wasps and hornets. So if God sent a bunch at you because He was against you, you're not going to win. I know what it's like to be attacked by a whole bunch of little bees. When I was just a teenager, I was attacked by a whole bunch of yellow jackets. And I had so many stings. Well, they counted 32 stings on me from my waist to my hairline. And I had slapped and killed so many bees in my head, my hair was just matted with them. And my head was just welts where they'd been stung. And they got me up to this little doctor's hospital real quick, just as fast as Dad and them could get me there. And there was two doctors in there with patients. And when I went in, and Dad told them, said he's gotten a bunch of yellow jackets. They did not wait for my turn. They took me straight back there to a room, and the doctors left their patients and come into where I was at. And both of them started working on me, and they were giving me shots and all of all. And they said, if this is going to work, he'll start having cold chills. And if it don't, we got to get him to a hospital in Winston-Salem as fast as we can. Well, within 5 minutes, I was freezing to death. And you can see the chills. They was in waves from my feet all the way out the top of my head, just one wave after the other. And they said, all right, he'll be okay. You can take him home. But the next morning, I woke up. Because of all that poison, I was itching to death, and I had hives all over me. But there was no defense against that. If I had been out where I couldn't have got to that, I would have been dead. That doctor there said, we've seen people die from 15. I don't know how many I had, but 30-some that counted. You and I today, the army that comes against you, God's got a weapon that they cannot defeat if He wants to. All He's got to do is speak the word. It ever be for a whole county will attack them. You and I, we've got to have faith, not say, Lord, what can I do? But say and say that, God, it's your battle, it's not mine. I'm going out and offering myself. I do what I know. God, the rest of it's up to you. David done what he was asked to. He slowed the stone. But God got it to the only place where the giant didn't have any armor. That was right in the center of his forehead. You and I today, God knows the weakness of the enemy. And he's able to direct the enemy of the sword and the weapon, whatever he wants, at the place where they're not protected. And you and I today, we need to exercise the faith that the men of the Bible did. You know, Sarah there, in her 90s, because God said that she could, had a child. Abraham, at 100, was the father of the child. And God had told him, your seed's going to be as the stars of the heaven, or is the sand of the seashore. That's an old man with an old woman, and God telling him that. Abraham believed God, and it come to pass. Every Jew on the face of the earth today is a descendant from Abraham. You and I today, we've got to stop and think. When God says something, it's true. When He says it, it's going to come to pass. And He's asked me and you. In other words, what are we going to give God? And do you realize the only thing I can give God is me? Everything else belongs to Him anyhow. Really, I do. But He lets us choose whether we want to be His or whether we're going to give ourselves to the devil. That's our choice. God allows it. So me and you, the only thing that we can actually say, I give the Lord, that wasn't His already, is you. Your heart. Your life. Be what God would have you to be. And coming back there again, what kind of a God do you serve? Are you serving one that you've got all faith in, knowing that He can take that you give Him and make something of it? You know, you'll find in the Word of God, He has all kinds of examples in there for me and you. And they're examples of how to do good and what we should do, or they're examples of bad and what we shouldn't do. You know, all of this here in this 11th chapter talking of faith, what was that for? That was for examples being pointed out to me and you so that we would cultivate our faith. You know, you take a little child. When they start to do something, you'll see how scary they are when they're first starting to do something. But when they accomplish that, their confidence starts to grow. And they start realizing, I can do far more. I can do far more. And little baby back there, Carol's holding. I mean, she will shock you to death how that thing can climb. You turn your back and you'll find she's up in the middle of the table before you even know it. The chair and onto the table. And she can go up steps. Hadn't been walking no time, but she can, anything she sets her mind to like that, she can go at. Why? She's learned, when I try, I succeed. Isn't it wonderful, me and you, if we try, God has helped us to know we can succeed if we put forth the effort. The things of the Lord that God's asking of us, don't let the devil say you can't. Say, Lord, I know if you've asked of me, I can. You can be exactly what God would have you to be. You can have a God that is all-powerful, a miracle-working God. Or you can have one that's hid somewhere or another in a drawer that you pull out and hope will work when a tragedy hits. A God like that, I wouldn't give you a dime for. The one you wake up to each morning and go to sleep with each night. With you all day long and watches over you while you sleep. I'd rather have a God like that, that when I wake up, no matter what it is that God asks of me, I know I can accomplish it. There's a lot of things I try this day and time that I figure out I ain't able to do anymore. I've got a hand so bad with arthritis, I can't hardly hit with a hammer because I can't close it tight enough to hold on to my hand. I can saw. So me and Daryl was working yesterday on a composter that we're trying to fix. And I thought I could at least saw. But if you can't grip a hammer with a saw, you'd be amazed. You can't hardly saw either. Because it just won't hardly push there unless these hands and fingers is gripping it. And there's a lot of things I'd like to do that I find I'm no longer able to do. But you know, when it comes to the things of God, God hasn't changed. He don't have arthritis. His vision isn't fading. He's able to do everything this day that He did back in the beginning. He hasn't aged one bit. I don't know how it is that God created the universe and all that you can see out there in the night sky. I don't know how on earth God did that. I just know He did. And He said He spoke it into existence. What kind of a God that takes and He can take nothing and say, let there be this, and it's there. I can't understand, because my feeble mind can't wrap around such power and such might as that. So why should I doubt when I come up against a problem? Why should I doubt that my God is able to take care of it? If He can speak the word and our sun and all the planets of our universe just appear, man don't even begin to know or understand all that it would take to have a sun and to keep it fire for all of these years. But my God, He did. He knows what it is that makes it work. We're just guessing about it. But God knows. You and I today, I don't know what I'm facing about it. What will be the outcome? I'm just guessing with that Lord. But my God already knows. And He's got the answer. Able to solve the problem. Even before they're around. And we'll put them in His hand. And David was able to trust God. And when the giant fell because of David's stone, the Bible said he slew him without a sword. But then David went up there, and so the great big army behind could see. He took the giant's sword, cut his head off, lifted it up, and the whole army fled. Why? They knew if their strongest man could be taken by a child, they come out without any weapons of war, what chance do we have? They ran. Was it because they was afraid of David? It was because of what David said. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And it was because of God. You'll find back there in the Six-Day War that Israel had with a bunch of Arab countries that jumped on them. I wish that they would have some news reports about this today so people would see it. Go back and dig them things out of the archives. I could remember seeing a news report where they was talking to this Israeli soldier. And here, they had literally acres and acres and acres of tanks, armored vehicles of all kinds, trucks, you name it, they had it there. And they asked them where to get it, because it was Arab stuff. And they said, we come up on it out in the desert, and them sitting there in the engines running, and nobody around them. And they got to interview the Arabs. And God had put fear in their hearts, because they was in armored vehicles, and they heard a noise. And they jumped out the middle of the desert and run and left that. Ran off on foot and left their equipment set there with the engine still running in. You think, turn that thing around. It'll go faster than you run. But God put fear in them. They said, we thought Israel had a new weapon, and we heard the noise. It was the noise of a God. Like He said, when you hear the wind in the top of the mulberry tree, I'll go for it. that God still lives and reigns in each one of us. We can put our faith and trust in Him, or we can put our faith and trust in man. And you know, if you think about it, all of the money that went into our space adventures and all, and twice now, this shuttle thing has been destroyed. I remember the one that blew up as it was going up. And I was watching that on the news. And I said, there's flame there on the side of that, and it shouldn't be. And I forgot who was with me, and they said, you're seeing a reflection that's coming from the engine back in behind. And I said, no, it's not. And sure enough, in just a little bit, it blew up. Blew all to pieces. And the newsmen, they just got quiet. They didn't say, it wasn't supposed to do that. And the minute it did it, I said, it's totally destroyed. You and I, all the research we can put into things, all the safety precautions that we can do, will not protect us when God says, my hand of protection is ours. You and I today, if we've got faith to believe, God is able this day, this very day, still to deliver, just like that He said in the Bible. Just as He did for all those in the Bible. You and I, God's not changed. And if He thought it was important enough to put faith in one chapter 24 times, and every one of them linked with men that made a difference, that stood out. And yet then, it said, and what shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and of Samson, and of, I can't even say that name, can't remember, and of David also, and of Samuel, and of the prophets. You know, you could go on down through, even put a lot more names to this than what he did. And every one of them, faith connected to it. Me and you, just think of that. If God thought this was that important, how important is it for us to have faith in our life today? And all of these, it wasn't just that they was having faith in something. They was having faith in God and the words that God had spoken to them. Me and you, God's Word, we've got it. It's called the Holy Bible. Now, do we have faith to believe it? Are we going to apply it to us? It spoke to us just like it was to these men here. It was given for each and every one of us. So when we apply it to our heart and our life and we believe God, we take God at His Word, when it comes down time that our funeral or our tombstone or a testimony that somebody is saying about us after we're dead and gone, faith will be included in it. Faith in God. And if it's that, then it's all well and good in it. While we get some song to sing, if your heart's not right with God, I beg you, will you come? Don't let the devil tell you it's not important or it's not necessary. Times have changed. You know, the same faith that it took for these men back in those days and time, it still takes today. But a point that Tony made there during the lesson, these men, a lot of them did not have the Spirit there on the inside it would come and speak to them, but then they were left just like they were before. Me and you, if we're a Christian, we can have that Spirit on the inside daily, talking and communing between us and God. That's a wonderful thing. So, you know, it should be easier for us to do feats of faith than it was for them. While we stand and sing, will you come? If you're lacking in faith, get on your knees and pray and talk to God and ask God to give you that faith that can move mountains, that faith that can change hearts and lives, where people can see that it's not just words that don't mean anything, but it's something that really can make a difference in your life. Anyone else? Will you come?